Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Home Secretary Jackie Smith has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair.
Here we go again on the Savage Nation. There's a great article that I posted from the Telegraph UK on michaelsavage.com. Play it up, would you please? I've always liked this. Hip, hip, hooray. I've always been an Anglophile. I've always liked the English people. Not as much as the Irish people, but I've always liked the English people. Let's put it to you that way. But from the time I first arrived in the Fiji Islands back in the late 60s to collect plants and my ship docked at the port in Suva, and I heard a local rendition of, Hail Britannia, I've been moved to look into the history of this great nation. And to think that this great nation has fallen to such a low level that a woman of obscure accomplishment, we can find nothing she has written and nothing she has ever created that would be of any note, to think that a woman of such obscure credentials would take a great nation that has stood for liberty and reduce it to this is amazing. There was an article today from the Telegraph UK by Ed West that says, not all Brits are whiny liberals, Michael Savage. And he says, what's the definition of a racist? A conservative winning an argument. What's the definition of, quote, such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that it is actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence, close quote. Ditto. Jackie Smith has banned American radio host Michael Savage from Britain, further evidence that the ideology of easily offended liberalism, often known by that overused expression political correctness, is a danger to freedom. He then goes on to say, I'm not against banning people from this country, but there's a difference between banning men who incite violence and those who simply have views liberals find offensive. A big difference. Savage's views are well known. He is for strict immigration limits on non-whites and has called the leaders of immigration amnesty campaigns many names. He also thinks that homosexuality and feminism are destroying America and is a great champion of English over minority languages, none of which is going to get you invited to a dinner party, Shay Jackie, but they are views which every free man in every free country has the right to express. But that's exactly the point, he says, about all our new terror laws. We could quite easily neuter the threat of extremism with stricter immigration laws and deporting even British-born extremists like Ajem Choudhury, but that would mean Britain being branded as Islamophobic, and our government is genuinely scared of Islam. Far easier to usurp our long-held freedoms and implement anti-terror laws that can be used against ordinary citizens. What must the Americans who inherited our political freedoms and built a great nation out of them think of Britain today, he writes. We're a joke. Mr. Savage, I can only apologize and offer you some belated British hospitality. If you do ever manage to sneak in, come to dinner with me and my wife in Haringey. I won't tell the neighbors. Here, here. Now, that's the Britain that I believe still exists behind the Iron Curtain, by the way. I have received, in addition to articles written in the British press, wonderful blogs, wonderful articles in America. Very, very few people are supporting this Martinet lunatic in England. I found out who my friends are. I found out who my friends are not here in the United States of America. And I would like to read you another letter from an individual who I have never met. And I will leave his name out of it. It is on michaelsavage.com again. Also, before you jump to conclusions or don't know what I'm going to do this hour, I have some special sound treats for you. Yesterday, before the program, I did an interview with BBC Television, another one with CNN. Most of you probably didn't see the BBC one because you live in America. Some of you may have seen the interview on CNN, which I thought was fairly good. And I'm going to play sound bites from both of them here on the Savage Nation so that you can judge for yourself whether or not they did a fair job. Again, the big vacuum is Fox News, the only major network in the world of free speech that has refused to cover this topic is Fox News, which I should say to you should lead you to understand my particular problems with these people. How in the world can they wrap themselves in the flag? How can they wrap themselves in saying, well, we got to all stick together. Well, this fairness doctrine is going to get us all. Here it is, one of their own, whether they like me or not, hit with an attack out of left field, which may have originated here in America, by the way, and they don't even report on the story. How does that fit with the rhetoric of the leprechaun, the golfer, and the wall banger? How in the world can't you people see this? Anyway, you know what? Judge for yourself. Letter to the British Home Office came to me, and I'm leaving the gentleman's name out of this. Dear sir or madam, I am a British national, he writes. I currently reside in blank, California, in the United States as a green card holder and have lived here for 11 years. In the 11 years as a resident of California, I listen to Dr. Michael Savage every day if possible. I can categorically state that I agree with every opinion, belief, and notion of Dr. Savage as expressed through his radio show, written word, and articles. I have made financial donations to his Freedom of Speech Legal Fund and will continue to do so. I am a practicing Catholic who strongly believes in the right to bear arms under the United States Constitution, although I am not permitted to own a firearm under U.S. law as a resident alien. I'm a member of the RNC. I am a strong anti-abortion advocate and have attended many protests outside abortion clinics. I am totally opposed to illegal immigration here in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. It is my belief that there is a faction of fanatical Muslims inciting violence in the U.K. who wish to overthrow the government of Great Britain. I strongly object to liberalism and oppose the Labor government and the Democratic government of the United States. As a result of Dr. Michael Savage's ban on entering the UK due to being put on a, quote, least wanted list by the Home Secretary, I would like to know if the British government will revoke my passport and deny me entry to the UK due to my affiliation with Dr. Savage, as my thoughts and beliefs are aligned with his. I demand an immediate response to my inquiry and furthermore demand the resignation of the incompetent Home Secretary with a stipulation of a written apology on behalf of the British people to Dr. Savage. I will be making a financial contribution to Dr. Savage's legal fund in the lawsuit of defamation against Jackie Smith, and I will, of course, leave the individual anonymous. Not all Brits are whiny liberals. Savage demands apology from UK. Another article, Jackie Smith's latest disaster, from the London Daily Mail. The letter from America I just read to you. The next article from CNS News is, UK minister who blacklisted Savage may lose her post. Underneath that is Michael Savage's bio. And there are other articles. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com is a shocking article. Hawaii lawmakers back the creation of Islam Day. I don't understand this. It's beyond comprehension. A few lawmakers in Hawaii objected and said they didn't want to honor a religion connected to 9/11. Can you believe this? And, of course, from the Associated Press, here she comes, Saudi's Miss Beautiful Morals. Sukaina al-Zaire is an unlikely beauty queen hopeful. She covers her face and body in black robes and an Islamic veil, so no one can tell what she looks like. If you women don't understand the danger you are in from the knot that is tightening around the West, I suggest that you throw away your pointy shoes and your ecstasy and put your head onto something other than orgasms and pointy shoes, because you're liable to wind up in your lifetime wearing a full body covering unless you join with Americans who are standing up to this tyranny of political correctness. Pardon me. On the right side of MichaelSavage.com is an interesting article from the Washington Times. Terror suspects slip past FBI watch list. And, of course, the absurd face of Leahy of Vermont is shown. The man with the strangest face in American politics. There's something about him that just gives you the creeps, isn't there? Leahy, who pretends to be a moderate liberal, is anything but. But here is a man sitting on one of America's most powerful committees. And apparently, we learned today that nearly 8 years after the September 11th attacks, the FBI's terrorist watch list is so flawed that at least 10 people who should have been kept out of the U.S. were allowed in. Read the story and shudder. I'll be right back. Savage. Is the Savage Nation. There's another great article that came out of England about this Jackie Smith thing who linked me up with skinheads who are killing people in Russia, with mass murderers who kill Jews on buses. And they wrote the article, and of course it was not exactly complimentary of me. I understand that. But at the bottom of the article from England, Daily Mail, it says, while Michael Savage is banned, here are some of those allowed to stay in this country. Abu Qatada, Bin Laden's top man in the UK, he is in jail fighting an attempt to extradite him to Jordan on terrorism charges. You hear this? He's still there. Lirko Chindamo, a 28-year-old who killed Headmaster Stephen Lawrence in 1995, is free to stay in the UK after lawyers claimed that deportation to Italy would, quote, breach his right to a family life. Are you listening to this? These are the people that this... These people are allowed to stay in the UK and I'm not allowed in. You hear this? Ahsan Sabri, a Pakistani illegal immigrant who killed a young writer by driving into her at 60 miles an hour. He cannot be deported due to his human right to a family life. Sabri, who had been driving uninsured and unlicensed, had married a British woman. Khalif Ali Asmar, Iraqi Kurd asylum seeker, jailed for 2 years for unlawful wounding. After serving 8 months, he was released and went on to rape a woman and stab a love rival. He is now in jail indefinitely. He cannot be thrown out of England. Gary Glitter, real name Paul Gadd, he served almost 3 years in prison in Vietnam for sex crimes involving underage children. The former pop star, who returned to the UK in August, also served 2 months in jail for possessing child pornography. She won't deport him. Dr. Philippe Nietzsche, the euthanasia activist, was dubbed Dr. Death after bringing the first of his suicide workshops to the UK yesterday. Nietzsche has helped 4 people die in his native Australia, but in the UK, assisted suicide is illegal with a maximum punishment of 14 years in prison. Now, here are so those are the people that she will not deport from England. You hear me? This is what's going on. Anyway, what I'd like to play for you right now is, if you'd like to read that article, it's Mail Online, Jackie Smith's latest disaster. Banned U.S., they call me Shock Jock. Well, thank you very much. Never even tried to visit Britain. Now he's suing. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I did speak with the attorney about an hour ago and tell you where we're going with that. I want you to listen to the BBC News interview now on the Savage Nation.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so, therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
So what are you going to do about it? You said you're sure you're going to sue?
We have 6 or 7 attorneys in London who are very anxious to take my position to Parliament. But I don't want to have to go there. She made a mistake. She was not given the full picture of Michael Savage. I suggest that she reconsider, remove my name, send a letter of apology, and I'll rapidly consider dropping the, number one, the libel suit. Number two, the call for a travel ban by my listeners. I don't want to have to do this, but I have 8 to 10 million loyal listeners. If I say, folks, don't go to England, don't buy British goods, don't buy the Jaguar, don't buy the pint, let's see what happens.
And is that something you're prepared to do?
I will do what's necessary. I will do what's necessary to defend my name and reputation. I spent my entire life building a good name and reputation. I will not have it dragged through the mud by this lunatic.
We are talking about the Savage Ban, Mrs. Smith and the Cowards of Talk Radio. We're talking about this topic and others right here on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Let's go to San Francisco, KNEW. Lance, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm so glad you're back. It was Dr. Pusnik on Monday. I could hardly believe it.
Now, right. Well, we're going to actually play a piece from the Peaceful Nation a little later on, because I may decide to never do the Savage Nation again and only do what is politically acceptable to Jackie Smith and, of course, Obama. I'm sure they would like a peaceful nation. In North Korea, you're only allowed to espouse what the government says you're allowed to espouse, and it's a very peaceful nation. Those who say anything other than that wind up in detention camps and then are killed. But it's a peaceful nation. You understand that, Lance?
Well, I'm concerned about that, Dr. Savage. I want you to run an experiment. I'm willing to give you half of my British Airways miles accumulated on a major credit card. So for you to fly to Heathrow, and let's run the experiment and see what happens.
Very interesting.
Savage.
We conservatives should not even express our opinions because it's kind of un-American to not salute neo-socialism. And maybe I should just tell personal stories and ignore the socialism of Obama completely and kind of not even talk about American values, borders, language, and culture. It's kind of antiquated to believe in borders, language, and culture, don't you think? If you'd rather me just, for the rest of my radio career, however long that may be, read you from Psychological Nudity, or I can read from Healing Children Naturally, because I want to be a good American. I want to be an American who gets along and goes along. I want to be an American who is loved. I want to be an American who, well, just worships the Obamas. I mean, I want to read about them stepping out at night. I want to read more stories about Obama goes to dinner. I want to see more stories about the Obamas walk in the park. I can't wait to get up in the morning and see Obama playing with his dog. I can't wait to see Obama, Mrs. Obama in her sneakers. Now, that's a true American. An un-American believes in antiquated things such as borders, you know, English as the language of the land, you know, stuff like, just nostalgic stuff that perhaps your grandfather believed in. Culture, you know, things like that, the Bible, and there's no point talking about any of that anymore. 99% of Americans love Obama. Well, I think it's 99.9%. It isn't. We have to root out the 0.1% who don't love the Obamas. They're the real problem in America. And so, therefore, I think I will only talk about personal stories because, as I say, I want to be a true American. And any true American loves the Obamas. They worship the Obamas. He is the Messiah. And anyone who doesn't worship the Messiah is, well, un-American. And perhaps Janet Napolitano should send a tax squad with black helicopters to find anyone who doesn't love the Obamas. That's the new America. And I don't want to be out of step with the times. I want to agree with the bloggers. I want to agree with MoveOn.org. I want to believe with, agree with Soros. I want to be a serf like every other serf. I want to surf with the serfs on the internet. And I want to enjoy my life. And the only way to enjoy my life in a growing fascistic society is to get along and go along. Now, I could tell you some political stories, but I really don't want to bum you out. So how about some family stories like One-Armed Frank or Louie and the Monkey? You know, oldie but goodie favorites. I can sing along like Tony Bennett and I Left My Heart in San Francisco and then get up and tell people like the canary he is, everyone should basically worship Obama. And if they don't, well, God knows. Or like Sean Penn, the genius, the man who can't put three sentences together without sounding like he was visiting three different pharmacies, goes and kisses the ring of the anti-Semite Chavez. The liberal media kisses the ring of Chavez, the most visible anti-Semite on the planet today. Do you know that the year Hugo Chavez was elected president, there were 22,000 Jews in Venezuela, but today the Jewish population is between 10,000 and 15,000? Those numbers tell a story of anti-Semitism in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. But I don't want to talk about it because it will make me look like I'm un-American. And if Sean Penn, like Chavez, even though he's an anti-Semite, that makes me wrong, doesn't it? It makes me wrong to point out that the Jews are being driven out of Venezuela. It makes me wrong to tell you that the verbiage coming out of Chavez in Spanish, if translated to the German, could be that of Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. And if I told you that verbal and physical attacks on Jews and Jewish institutions in Venezuela in January, for example, were at their greatest level ever, I would make you uncomfortable, and then you might start doubting my Americanism. And I don't want you to doubt my Americanism. And if I tell you that in a report, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom puts Venezuela on a watch list of countries where religious freedom is threatened, I don't want to make you think that in any way I'm against Chavez, because Chavez is a good buddy of Obama. After all, Obama and Chavez gave each other the ghetto fist slap, whatever they call it. And I'm sorry to be so out of touch with things that I don't know what the ghetto thing is when you hit fists together. I wish I could use the proper phrase for it. But our leader, our supreme leader, our Messiah, Obama, if he likes Chavez, then I like Chavez. If he says Chavez is a good guy, then I say Chavez is a good guy. And if the Jews are being driven out of Venezuela, well, I guess then we all have to accept that. Because after all, I want to get along and I want to go along. And I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to talk about the Jews being driven out of Venezuela because Sean Penn and the other actors love Chavez. So how could I be right and how could they be wrong? After all, actors are always right. That's why people pay so much money to see them act. They are so good at acting that they must be right about politics. And they're never wrong about anything, so how could they be wrong about Chavez? So if I read that Chavez is a vicious anti-Semite whose language is that of Adolf Hitler in Spanish, why then, I must be wrong. And I think that those who oppose Chavez, and in this case agree that Obama should not have visited him, I think that they're wrong. And that's why I say it may be time for me to simply get out of politics and get into storytelling. But of course, if you wish I do the other, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, has political stories, I'm sorry to tell you. There are many political stories on the website because I'm thinking of converting the entire website to family photos, just black and white family photos from little old Kodak little booklets from the 50s and 60s, because I don't want to upset the social order, because the Messiah is right about everything, that I only want to see happiness in America. I don't want to oppose anybody who believes in Obama. I want to make all those who worship Obama feel good. I want all opposition to Obama to be eliminated. I want anyone who opposes Obama to be investigated. I want anyone who continuously talks against Obama to be jailed. And I want Janet Napolitano, one of the most brilliant women in the history of the world, greater than Marie Curie, possibly one of the most brilliant women in the history of the world, to be put on the Supreme Court. There is no one more brilliant than Janet Napolitano. After all, she wisely targeted returning vets from the Iraq and Afghan theaters as potential terrorists. She wisely targeted people who oppose the murder of unborn children as terrorists. She wisely targeted many, many other fringe groups in America as potential terrorists and paid no attention to our visitors from Central America with tattoos all over their bodies who sell drugs and murder in the streets as threats to America, because she is a wise woman. She knows that if she reaches out to the tattooed clusters of illegals in America, if she reaches out and embraces the clusters of illegal aliens carrying bedbugs, cholera, and other diseases, why, the bedbugs will flee back south of the border. The cholera will flee back south of the border. There will be no disease if only she is kind to them. And the only way to be kind to them is to be hateful towards true Americans, or shall I say, old Americans, patriotic Americans. In fact, anyone who declares themselves to be a patriot should be investigated by the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the CIA. And I think special detention camps, well, let us say re-education camps, should be set up by Janet Napolitano, where she can educate anyone who considers themselves a patriot as to how to think in the new America.
God save the queen! The fascist regime! They made you a moron! Potential hate bomb! God save the queen! She ain't no human being! There is no future! In England's dreaming! Down it all, I don't want you wanting it down it all!
I missed this group when they were alive. I don't know. I think I was busily raising children, working for a PhD, and holding down two jobs. Must have been fun to get stoned and go to nightclubs and take ecstasy. Because most of them are now running the United States government. And the British government, of course. But those of us who actually worked to get where we are today are shocked at what we see. Yeah, God save the Queen. God save the Queen. Well, here we are. Here we are. Here we are. So that was it. That was the peaceful nation, not the savage nation. And that may be how we have to go. That's where we have to go, is in that direction. But if you learn a few things out of this ban on Michael Savage going to the UK, while known murderers and those who would overthrow the government are allowed to stay there, you've learned that the prophetic genius of Michael Savage has been proven once again. Witness my best-selling book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I mean, it was on the New York Times bestseller list. You wouldn't know that from the media that interviews me. They'd pretend that I have never written anything. That is because to them there is moral equivalence, and of course there's literary equivalence. If someone writes a check in a checkbook, it is equal to Michael Savage, who has published over 25 books. If an illiterate gangbanger writes a poem in a jail, why, that's equal to George Orwell and Shakespeare put together to the morons in the media. And of course that's why you know nothing about my background, but hey, what can I tell you? I worked very hard for what I've achieved, and I'm very proud of it all. If England doesn't want me, so be it. I wasn't planning on going there anyway. So God save the Queen, as I say. This is not over till it's over. And we are filing. I'm not going to give you the details of who is filing, what we're filing, or who it's being filed with. But it is the first of a very long series of strategic moves to number one, get my name off that list. Number two, get a written apology from this wonderful genius, Jackie Smith, and for me to call off a travel ban before I really ramp it up. And I will, whatever letters go out and whatever letters come back, I'm going to post on michaelsavage.com. This is an ongoing, evolving saga. The letter that will go out should go out tomorrow from an attorney in Britain, and we will see what comes back from the individuals or the office that we send it to. And then at that point, we'll make further decisions. So this is evolving. Again, you can visit the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund on michaelsavage.com. I've not asked you for anything yet because I don't need it right now. But this could wind up costing $2 million, by the way. But you know, there's a lot more at stake than me. Just because the golfer doesn't care, just because Wallbanger doesn't care, just because the leprechaun doesn't care, doesn't mean that you don't care. I'll be right back.
Savage.
God save the queen! The fascist regime! It made you a moron! Potential hate bomb! God save the queen!
When they're real artists, they're so prescient and they're so far seeing. You wouldn't know it. I mean, say, okay, junkie, this, that. But you listen to the lyrics, they're chillingly prescient for their time. Aren't they now? You can't hear anything that's tuning out. But the best is There Is No England Anymore by the Kinks. Unbelievable. I did a whole show on this 2 years ago. There's no England now. A lot of curry shops. Went over there for fish and chips. All the lies we were told. All the lies we were told. Unbelievable. No, I mean, great art is great art is great art. So don't assume that I'm a traditionalist only when it comes to literature, music, poetry. I understand the ebbs and flows of genius can appear in various forms and in various mediums at various times. Don't think I just sit here and say, well, after Beethoven there was nothing, or, after Rembrandt painting died. That's hardly the point. But then here we go. If I say that I love Gauguin and Picasso, does that mean I have to love a schmuck on the Lower East Side who smears feces on a wall or sticks a cross in a jar of urine? I know the difference between great art and dreck, and it doesn't matter what form or format it's in. People have an intuitive knowledge of the difference if they have a discernment and a capacity to discern the differences. And so what I'm saying is there's a difference between a shock jock and a talk show host. There's a difference between a Home Secretary and Jackie Smith. There's a difference between the England of 1950 and the England of today. There's a difference of America from 1970 and the America of today. Things change. They're not all the same. So you say, America, what do you mean by that? Say, the U.S. president, what do you mean by that? Say, the U.S. media, what do you mean by that? After World War II, virtually all the people in the media were returning World War II veterans. These were hard-boiled returning veterans. They wouldn't take the garbage that we take today, that we accept today. The people stop reading the papers because they don't want to read this trash. When I was a kid in the 1950s in New York City, a murderer was a murderer. A rapist was a rapist. Period. End of story. You were caught killing a cop. You were given the electric chair within a year. Here in Oakland, California, you can kill four cops and you'll get invited to City Hall and be given a key to the United Kingdom. New York City, WOR, Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
What I find really funny is just the whole strategy behind the left. I mean, it's the worst thing you can do in business is market for the other company. That's exactly what they've done, because prior to this week, you weren't a fixture in the daily news and the local news or the national news. And now they've put you out there and they've put you on a national stage, which is going to allow
Matt, listen, this the reason I became an international incident is very interesting. It's not that I was banned. It was who I was lumped in with. Even the British were shocked to see this. Even the British liberal establishment said this is insanity. They finally saw the madness of their own nation.
But you said that it came from America. That's where
I don't know where it came from. We may find out where it came from eventually. I don't know whether this list, inclusion of Michael Savage on this list, came from somewhere in the Obama administration or through other sources. I don't know yet, but we're going to try to find out, Matt.
Use this strategy once already, and by using this strategy, it just really it makes you, like I said, it increases your market share. It makes you more important. It has more.
All right, I understand that, but listen, here's what I think happened. Jackie Smith. They want to ban certain radical Islamists from England, rightly so. We would all agree with that. They have a real problem on their hands. Let's not forget the London subway bombings. Let's not forget the recent slaughter in India conducted by fanatical Muslims again. I mean, there's only so much cover-up you can take in this bloody world. And so they know who their enemies really are. But in order to assuage the big-mouth radical Islamic front groups in England, they lump in an anti-gay group, an anti-abortion preacher, Russians who are in prison for killing immigrants. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an American talk show host named Michael Savage. Now, What I think happened is a group like Media Matters or someone affiliated with them, and I have no way of knowing if this is true, forwarded my name to this woman who probably had never heard of me. She doesn't know who I am. She probably figured I have a small show in Idaho somewhere on a single station. She had no idea what an S storm this would start, not only in America, but in her own country, because she didn't know who I really was. She had no idea that if I called for a travel ban, it would cost that country millions of pounds in revenue rather rapidly. And so I think that this has blown up in her face. Of course, it's backfired on her. But the issue is, she didn't even really know who I was. She got a few selected sound bites. And by the way, by the sound bites that are being played in England about me, I know who supplied them, because I've heard them all before. Every one of them was taken out of a broader context. So when they say I'm an anti-Islamist, they're wrong. I am not anti-Islam. I'm anti-Islamist. Okay? That's the issue. And any sound bites, I want every Muslim listening to this show to hear me loud and clear. The sound bites that the enemies of freedom are playing were made right after 9/11 or right after I was talking about 9/11. They were not generic comments about Islam. I have, over the 15 years, supported Islam. Go back and listen to me. I have said over and over again on the show, I support the five principal religions of the earth, and I have named them over and over and over again. So I don't want to be put in the category of a hater, which is what she has done, which is why there's a libel suit brewing. Do you understand? Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. We're almost through in this hour in the Savage Nation. We're living in extremely dangerous times. But what I have learned from this exercise thus far, and it's not over, by the way, it's just beginning, because the courts will be the next stage. What I have learned thus far is that all of the people in the media who have professed to say they would stand up should the Fairness Doctrine be instituted, every last one of them in the top tier is full of you-know-what. They are liars because they've said nothing about this. They care for nothing but their own pocketbook. Understand that.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
British Home Secretary Jackie Smith saying that you're on this list that we've been talking about because you are someone who, quote, has fallen into the category of fomenting hatred of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed in the country. What's your response to that?
It is demented. That's a demented attitude. We are protected by the First Amendment, number one. They are not. And the First Amendment, as we all know, was written to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Let's begin with the basics. But more than that, she lumped me in with known murderers and terrorists, people who have been in prison for killing people. I am a talk show host and an author. The fact of the matter is I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I have never, ever promoted violence. There has never been one violent incident attached to my show.
Hip, hip, hooray, it's the Savage Nation. Let's play this thing out, though. I do love the English people. At least those who go to the Hatton fights. That type. I like soccer thugs. I like boxing fans. I like pub crawlers. Only I have said this over the years, that only the soccer thug can save England. I realize now that that may be what triggered this. When I look at what's going on with all of the ninnies running the government, running away from the terrorists out of fear, and I say to myself, where in the world has England gone? And I look at these brawny men at the fights with the Union Jack. big men. It looks like they can throw a virtual pub out of a window, never mind a beer glass. And I said, why don't they unleash the soccer thug in England the next time they have a riot in some district of the country that they can't control with their bobbies? Instead of the bobbies, just get some drunks out of a pub. Then you might have an England again. At least those are the thoughts I've had to myself. What can I tell you? That's the kind of thinking I have in my mind. If that's illegal, what can I tell you? See, it was the soccer thugs' ancestors who actually built England. It was not the ninnies who are running the country today. If you had these ninnies running England 200-300 years ago, you wouldn't have a country. You'd be slaves. You'd be serfs. It was the virile ancestors of the soccer thugs who manned the ships, who stoked the furnaces, who built the houses, not the ninnies sitting in Parliament. Hear, hear, hip, hip, hooray. This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Now, that interview was a piece of a CNN interview I recorded yesterday by a host named Kiran Shetty, who did a good job. I didn't know who the young lady was. She was a very nice person. She ran some sound bites at me that I wasn't prepared for because, again, they were taken out of context, but I held my own. I didn't expect them, but you know what? At this stage in my career, I can defend my honor and myself because I know my intentions. The important thing is I don't have to hide anything. If I was really hiding a violent or racist agenda, I wouldn't do any interviews. If I were really hiding some real secret, you know, hatreds or this and that in that regard, I wouldn't even be talking about this. I would just let it go away. But I have a lot to defend here. I'm the least racist person you will ever meet and the least violent person you have probably ever met. And so, therefore, I'm going to talk about it until my name is clear. Do you understand that? Now, I will take your calls at 1-800-449-8255, and in this hour, we will play some of the CNN pieces that I think are of relevance. The most important thing that came out of the CNN interview, and I know you're going to be shocked by this because I was, is she challenged me on my views on homosexuality. Now, I know that the gays are behind this. I know that the gay lobby is the most powerful lobby in the Western world. And I also know that the gay cabal runs across oceans. And I am positive, although I can't prove it yet, that it is the gay lobby who is doing this to me with a little help from their friends in the home office. But I want to remind you that my views on homosexuality, which you will hear, are not really out of step with the majority of mankind on earth. They're certainly in keeping with the Christian religion, the Jewish religion, the Muslim religion, Islam, and Buddhism, of course, has the same beliefs. Most Americans don't know this, as does Hinduism. All of the five religions on the earth have the same views on homosexuality that I do. But you have to hear what I say rather than hearing a soundbite that was taken out of context in a set-up phone call many, many years ago. And that's why, once and for all, I would like all of the homosexuals who listen to this show to listen to what I'm going to play later in this hour so you at least judge for yourself whether you think I'm this evil man that the media is trying to portray me as. But there is no question in my mind that with the election of Obama and the billions of dollars that are pouring into the coffers, let us say hundreds of millions of dollars that are poured into the coffers of the homosexual movements around the earth, there is a movement to make gay okay in the military. There's a movement to run around the people and grant homosexual marriage, even though the people oppose it. It just happened in Washington, D.C. There were black preachers who opposed it, who were shut up and shut down, who were not interviewed by the homosexual fellow travelers in the media. I got to be very clear with you. They jammed it down the throats of every state in this country. Whenever the people vote on homosexual marriage, the people say no by a resounding margin. And they shop it to the five or six stinking black robes. And therefore, we are losing our democracy here, just as I am losing my voice of freedom there. Make no mistake about where this is coming from. Let's clear the air here, okay? I know where this is coming from. And so I'm going to play for you my actual statement on homosexuality, which I think I finally made as clear as I could to the CNN interviewer. Shortly on the Savage Nation, but not right now. I will save that for the segment after this break. At this point, I would like to take a few callers and invite you to call the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Chicago, America. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I never thought I would disagree with you, but please follow my rationale. Al Gore, former vice president, had the extremely intelligent Sir, I think his name was Goodman from England, banned from testifying in the Senate.
Right. Okay? Hold it. You're talking about Lord Monckton, who was banned from the U.S. Congress, even though he had flown in from Heathrow to refute Al Gore's lies on so-called global warming. I was the only one in the, I was the first one in the media to have Lord Monckton on right after that embarrassment. So what's your connection, please?
Exactly. And it, as almost as soon as that happened, Al Gore dropped another dime on you to England, which is where his phony company is based to make millions of dollars on the cap and trade and global warming tax credits. I'm following the money. Al Gore stand. If Al Gore can impugn you and get hit you off his case, he stands to make a ton of money, no matter what.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, there's usually money involved. I wouldn't reject that premise. Lord Monckton is a genuine scientist, while Al Gore is a genuine huckster. I agree with you.
Absolutely, Michael.
And every scientist worth his salt who was not receiving government funds to lie to the people of the West confirms that we've actually entered an age of global cooling, not global warming. It is the greatest lie I have seen in my lifetime. This is the greatest lie in modern times, this concept of global warming, and they have zillions of dollars invested in order to rob us blind. And Obama's right in line with the same garbage. These measures to curb greenhouse gases by capping emissions and issuing permits for allowable carbon dioxide would be passed on to consumers. The governments will make a fortune, as will the shysters like Al Gore, who are standing in line to rob us blind. And of course, Lord Monckton refuted him, and that's why they wouldn't let him speak.
P.T. Barnum, they're trying to shell game all of us. And Michael, you tell that Julie girl, if she's listening, I'll stand in front of a train for you for what you did for the United States Marines. Semper Fi.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, I don't want to boast about it. I never want to boast about it. You know, I hear a lot of people say they will help and they won't help. You know, but I have given personal funds to Marines who have been falsely accused. When the four officers in Oakland were slain, I gave $30,000 of my own money to them. I don't put it on the website and ask you to give me a halo. That was left out of every article about me, my donations, and to whom? Because the media generally hates the military and hates police. But guess what? Let me ask you something. The next time someone in the media is walking down a dark street at 3 in the morning, whether it be in London or New York City or San Francisco, and they come out of one of their clubs stoned out of their gourds, and they see two bad guys across the street coming towards them, and they pull out their little pink cell phone, and they have only a few seconds to make a decision. Do they dial 911 for a cop, or do they dial ACLU for Marvin the lawyer? I'll be right back. As promised, I'm a guy who likes to walk on the tightrope. I'm going to walk on the tightrope right now without even a balancing rod. I agreed to two interviews yesterday. I did one with the BBC, no script, did it. Did one with CNN, and they set me up by playing an old sound clip from when I had a television show, when I was set up by... By the way, this is something that is not well known. The person who set me up in television was not gay. It turned out later on it was a person in the media who was calling with a prank call. And they got me angry, and I answered them in a certain way, but it had nothing to do with being gay. So now it's been blown up where I said, you know, something about gays that I didn't really say. But what I decided to do yesterday was let the interviewer, Ms. Chetri, ask me what she wanted, and I answered them. So let's go to clip 17.
What are your views on homosexuality, for example?
My religious training teaches me that it's something to shun. And when a society starts to embrace homosexuality and other behaviors, where does the society end up?
And what do you say to people who say, you know, I was born this way, I didn't ask to, you know, be attracted to one sex or the other, and I shouldn't be treated differently?
Well, you could be born many different ways. It doesn't mean that a person has to follow their urges. I mean, there are many urges that people have. And if a society starts to engage homosexuality on an equal footing with heterosexuality, you end up with no society. Where is the reproduction supposed to come from? Have we lost all sense of father, mother, and family?
Well, that's it. It's a pretty comprehensive statement. What I believe on this issue is based on my religious teachings. That's number one. Number two, I was raised by my parents to say, just because you have an urge does not mean you have to follow it, whether the urge be for chocolate cake five times a day, chocolate pudding twice a day, or whatever the urge may be. Whatever happened to self-restraint? Whatever happened to self-control? Whatever happened to understanding that we have options in our life? Many of us have urges all day long. I've spoken to very religious people, ultra-Orthodox Jews, for example. I'm not an ultra-Orthodox Jew, incidentally, but I have many friends who are. And I've asked them, well, what happens all day long? You're praying, you worship God, you wear skull caps to remember that God is above us. Do you have urges towards women or towards this or towards that? And one of the older men looked at me and said, of course we do. We're not made of stone. But that's the whole purpose of prayer and worship. It's literally asking God to deny this evil impulse in us. So that's the way I was raised. And that's why this being a Christian nation, and I guess that's something the English can't understand, America is still a Christian nation. The majority of people in this country are Christians. No matter what the media would have you believe, it is a Christian nation. And the last I checked, the issue of homosexual marriage was put on the ballots. See, we have a primitive notion here called the vote, a very primitive notion called voting here. And in 17 states, overwhelmingly, the people said no to homosexual marriage. Wherever the people have been able to vote, they say no. And in every other state that has legalized homosexual marriage, it's not been done by the will of the people. It's been done against the will of the people by a small group of so-called judges who have stolen the very birthright of the voters of their own states. And that's my complete statement. Now, if you would like to talk about this one issue, okay, make a call, 1-800-449-8255. I'm sure some people's hearts are pounding, and they would like to challenge some of my beliefs or some of my statements, and that's okay. That's talk radio. I do not do what the English do. I don't ban you. I am not the United Kingdom. This is the Savage Nation, not the United Kingdom. It's not even a savage kingdom. It's a savage nation, and I'm not even the head of it. I'm only a talk show host. I'm not a revolutionary nor a politician. And incidentally, let me say this to you. I have such a large following through the years that I've worked, and by expressing honestly what I believe in, the people love me. They don't agree with everything I say, obviously. Some of them do, some of them don't. Most don't. No one can believe in whatever the other man says all the time. But I have such momentum from this audience that if I ever chose to go into politics, there's no question in my mind that I could be elected to the United States Senate, or I could give whoever's running for the governorship of the state of California possibly not only a run for their money, but defeat anyone in the state. Despite what the media says, my following is very large. But I want to assure all of the phonies in the political world, the fake politicians, the liars, the soundbite people, that I have no desire ever to be a politician. I would never want to give up the freedoms that I enjoy as an American and as a member of the American media to tell you what I actually think rather than simply having to say what I think the people must want to think, nor do I want to spend every day of my life collecting money. Okay? The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us go to the callers around the nation. Here we go, New York City, WOR. Tom, you're up on the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Iron Mike. It's time for you to take off the gloves once again. Our prayers and support are with you. Michael, it's a tall order to go against the libel and slander suit on an international basis against a public official. I'm sure you have good lawyers that are going to tackle those issues. But you've got 50 million people standing behind you, and I think we have to get the courts to realize it's the reasonable man standard, not the unreasonable man standard. The reasonable people stand for what you stand for, and we'll stand behind you because our nation is in the balance.
Well, I spoke to a couple of lawyers. There could be a couple of million dollars required for this. I have to take this a step at a time and make some decisions, and then see if I want to do the fundraising at a certain point. But I don't need to do any of that right now. I have sufficient funds in the Savage Legal Fund to pursue the initial steps, which is a demand to have my name removed from that ban. Let us see if the British government has some sober individuals in it, and then we'll go to the next step. When you say Democrat today, you mean the American Socialist Party. And as I've said to you for years, the Republican Party is basically the liberal party of today, and the Democrats is the, you could call them the Democrat Socialist Party, but that's again, far too much for the average listener. So that's why we're thinking of apologizing for all the years of talking about borders, language, and culture. We're going to also possibly, we're thinking about rebranding this show to the Peaceful Nation. Because we don't want to upset anyone. We want to call ourselves the Peaceful Nation, and we want to expunge our violent past where we conducted war against the poor, peaceful Germans and the poor, peaceful communists in Vietnam, for example. I want to rebrand us as the Peaceful Nation. I want to forget all of this rubbish about D-Day, for example, all this nonsense about the Greatest Generation. It's time that we don't teach it anymore. This idea that we were the good ones and the Germans were the bad ones, or that we were the good ones and the Japanese were the imperialists who imprisoned Koreans and such, I think that that should be put aside in the new America, because this is an inclusive country now. It's a nation that's just very broad and accepting. And in order to be accepted around the world, we need the president to go to Japan next and apologize for the two atomic bombs. Now, he's apologized across one-third of the globe, but there's still two-thirds of the globe to go. I think that in the next few months, we're going to beg the president, I mean the Messiah, I mean the chairman, the new chairman, Obama, to go to Germany and perhaps go to an SS cemetery and apologize to the Germans for taking away the flower of their youth 70 years ago in some misguided notion of liberation. Because this is a new world order where there are no borders. It's an America that transcends all borders and all history, transcends all languages and all cultures. And the least important culture on earth, of course, is the American culture. The least important race on the planet is the white race. And the important thing to remember is that it's a new world order under a new man who has brought new hope and new promise. And that's why I say it's time to put all of these thoughts aside. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, since this is the new way, since this is the new world order, since there's no stopping the tidal wave of lies, deceit, arrogance, and absolute un-Americanism emanating from the highest office, I think that it's time to get along and go along. And that's why I say today we're rechanging the show to the Peaceful Nation. Because the last thing we would want is to see me on a watch list of the Homeland Security or the FBI or the CIA. I want them to understand that I'm a team player, that I'm not a loose cannon, that I'll get along and I'll go along. And so, as I say, whatever the government wants of me, I'm willing to do. And I'm even willing to go so far as to myself offer several initiatives. And one of them would be this. Although over the years I've called for stronger borders and the deportation of illegal aliens, I think today I'm going to call for the relocation of all white people who have lived here for more than 50 years in order to give the newcomers from the South a chance, just for the sake of fairness and balance. We should force all whites over the age of 50 to leave the country, perhaps with their possessions, perhaps not, in order to give all of these newcomers from the South a chance, the newcomers who have put all the Democrats in power and have kept them there for these last 20 years. You see what I mean? It's time for them to appreciate the beauties of America, and it's time for those who've enjoyed this fair nation to move on. Time to pack up your kit bag and move along.
We're all living in America. America is wunderbar. We're all living in America. 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 Wenn ihr tanzt, will ich führen. Auch wenn ihr euch alleine dreht.
Is the Savage Nation. I played a piece from my show for Monday. Little did I know it was coming on Tuesday. That was a segment from the Peaceful Nation, the sarcastic version of the show. I hope you can distinguish between the two versions of the program. As you well know, everyone wants Michael Savage to be moderate, to moderate. But I want to remind you that my political hero is a man who ran for the presidency, a senator from Arizona from the 1960s by the name of Goldwater. And Goldwater's statement was branded in my mind ever since I've been a teenager about moderation and about patriotism. And gentlemen, can you please find that piece and play it the minute you can find it? Because this one says it all.
I will remind you,
here it is,
that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Bingo. Now, there was a man, there was an American, there was a man who should have been president, but it was stolen from him, by the way, by one lawyer in Washington, D.C., who I actually met. We were friends for a very brief period of time when he was an elderly gentleman. I didn't know that he had actually orchestrated the campaign that to smear Goldwater with the Daisy, the famous Daisy TV ad, where a little girl was holding a Daisy and an atomic bomb was coming out of allegedly because of Goldwater's hard policies. And it unseated Goldwater, and we got, I think, JFK as a result. But that's an example of the kind of smear campaign that the Democrats initiated on Goldwater, and, of course, the rest is history. But let's look at the statement that he made. I don't know who the speechwriter was, but extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. That's about all I want to say about the Savage Nation. And I think the proof is in the pudding. Moderation, as practiced by Gordon Brown in England, moderation as practiced by Tony Blair for all of those horrendous years that he ran the country into the ground, has resulted in the nation practically disappearing in the eyes of most Brits. They have almost lost their national identity. They have almost completely lost their national security. It is a wonder that the nation is still standing. That is why it was called many, many names over the last few years. They were calling it Londonistan for a good reason. And that was because too many so-called moderates, who are really cowards, took over the government. Make no mistake about it, anyone can be moderate. Anyone can be tolerant. That means that you don't have the guts to stand up for what you believe in. What does it really mean? It means you're a nice guy? It means you don't have the guts to stand by your principles and stand up for your own nation, or for your own country, your own borders, language, culture. Is that what moderation means? Well, look at what it's going to get you. You're going to wind up as a man without a country altogether. And that's how I see things, by the way. Phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Let's go to the callers around America. 1-800-449-8255, San Francisco. On the great station called KNEW. Ira, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a Republican, and I'm an African-American Republican, which doesn't tend to go over well in my community. But I have to say this. I think it's time for us to call upon our religious leaders and they have to step forward and speak against homosexuality. It's wrong. It's in the Bible. It is not consistent with the plan of God. And I commend you, sir, for everything you're doing in your fight against this.
Ira, hold on. This is very important. You saw what happened in Washington, D.C. yesterday, where the council railroaded homosexual marriage down the throats of the people, and a few black pastors tried to speak and were shouted down. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I can't tell you how disgusted I am.
It's no different in San Francisco, Ira. When the issue of gay marriage came up in this city a number of years ago, do you know that 400 Christian preachers, largely Chinese and blacks, they were preachers, went to City Hall to hold a prayer vigil against homosexual marriage? Do you know that the media wouldn't even cover them appearing in front of City Hall with a candlelight vigil? They wouldn't even show them.
They won't. It's a conspiracy. I don't want to use the word conspiracy, but I have no other choice. These people have a lot of money. Society has to realize the gay community has a lot of backing. They have a lot of power.
I know that. That's why I'm on their list. I'm their target because virtually no one else will talk about the subject. Unfortunately, they have branded me what I am not. To say that I'm something that I'm not is a way of smearing a person in order to defame them. And I'm convinced that there's a relationship between this community and what's going on in England.
got to stop. It has to, we need to step forward and let people
Well,
know.
What's going to happen when the black robes in Sacramento say to the voters who voted no on gay marriage, go to hell? We have decided in our wisdom, in our own wisdom, that you are a bunch of hicks and morons, and so therefore we have gay marriage now. Well, what's going to happen then? The Congress, the House of Representatives, just passed a so-called hate crimes bill just the other day that, if it is not amended, could put preachers in prison if they quote the Bible. Do you know that, Ira?
Yes, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable? Would you ever think that I would wake up one day and be banned from England for saying what I believe in? I never thought that day would come. The day will come in this country, unless the people wake up and act out, that the preachers will be put in prison for teaching what they believe to be truths from the Bible. There's nothing more that I can say, Ira. I'm putting myself on the line. I'm paying the price for it right now. It can get a lot worse, too. There could be a day tomorrow that I get arrested for this. That could happen. No one is standing up behind me in the media. Nobody. I mean, okay, a few people are. But the big mouths, the top guys in the media, they run away from me. So you got to do what you got to do. Send them emails. Send the golfer. Send the wall banger. Send the leprechaun your emails, your calls, and your faxes, and say to them, I don't believe a word you say, because you won't even talk about Michael Savage. Send them emails and faxes and calls. Maybe they'll wake up to the fact that you're not the idiots that they think you are, that you can't be taken for granted. Austin, Texas, Nona, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First of all, on what you're just talking about, I just want to tell you our only saving aspect to this is that, you know, nobody's going to stand up with the sinners of the gay and...
All right, what's your main point, Nona? I'd like to know what you wanted to call about.
Hey, I told them not to do that. But I wanted to bring you back to what you had said, is that we were a nation of Christianity, and, you know, our president just went out on a big tour and said that we are not. We're a nation of all nations.
Well,
we're a nation
he's mistaken. The majority of Americans are Christians. It doesn't mean that there aren't Jews and Hindus and Buddhists, of course, and agnostics and witches and warlocks. We understand that. But the nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, not upon Hindu or Muslim or witchcraft principles. And so Obama is 100% wrong when he went out and said we are not a Christian nation. I thought that was one of the gravest insults to this nation I've ever heard. The entire founding of this nation was built on Christian principles, period, end of story. And every school child understands reality.
Yes. My 13-year-old child understands that.
The Word of God was intimately involved in the shaping of America. Some of the darkest days of this nation, in those dark days, it was one nation under God. And those who served this nation did so because they were serving not only the nation but God. And for Obama to say we are not a Christian nation is a furtherance of my premise that he is a neo-Marxist. Because I must remind you that Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses, and tried to do away with religion in the Soviet Union, and attacked churches, and burned icons of the Christian churches. And when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, they attacked the church viciously. They burned the icons. They killed priests. When Hitler came to power, not only did he kill 6 million to 7 million Jews, but he also tried to wipe out Christianity in Germany. You don't know this. You don't want to accept this. This is a story that needs to be told. Many priests who stood with the Jews and stood against Hitler were persecuted, tortured, and killed as well. And so you have to understand that the whole basis of America was built upon morality, moral strength, a turning towards, not a turning away from God. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Joshua 7:12. The loss of virtue. Samuel Adams, the great American patriot, accused by King George III of being, quote, the chief rabble-rouser. Does that sound familiar to you? Samuel Adams, the great American patriot, was accused by King George III of being, quote, the chief rabble-rouser of American independence. And here I am, Michael Savage, certainly not comparing myself to Samuel Adams, but if you analyze what this twit in England has done. She is accusing me, Michael Savage, of being a rabble-rouser, and so therefore she's putting me in the league of Samuel Adams, one of the founders of American independence. Don't you see what's going on here in this country? Don't you see the danger you are in? The danger of losing not only your independence, but your very individuality and your freedom itself. So I do speak for you, whether you know it or not. Even those who disagree with me, I am actually your best friend. Those of you who enjoy the wild freedoms you enjoy to do the very things that I disapprove of, by the way, do so because of the freedoms that you enjoy. And if they take me down, how are you certain that you won't be next 10 years from now? You don't understand that it's impossible to rightly govern the world without a set of moral principles. Without God and the Bible, you cannot rightly govern the world, let alone a nation. I'll be right back. Savage. I think I should play for you in the waning moments of this hour to give you some idea of the context of what's going on in this world, the Western world, collapsing as it is because of the atheists who are running the Western nations, the pseudo or crypto Bolsheviks in England and America who are now in power. And by the way, they think they're empowered. You have to understand that they're trying to dismiss the fact that America was founded upon the biblical principles of Judeo-Christianity. They are revisionist historians. They're trying to change the facts. But anyone who examines the original writings or biographies and public statements of the people who were instrumental in the founding of America, they'll find quotations that show the profound extent to which their thinking and lives were influenced by a biblical or Christian worldview. This is not to say that all of the founding fathers were Christians. Clearly, they were not. But even those who were not Christians were influenced by the principles of Christianity. And so you have to look at that in order to understand this. And so when Obama gets up and says this is not a Christian nation, he is denying the reality of this nation. Maybe he is not seeing it that way, but that's not how the majority of Americans see it. Play the Obama piece for a minute.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Well, that's what they said in the Soviet Union and also in the People's Republic of China, was a nation of citizens. I don't think you understand how ominous the direction that this nation's direction right now is bordering on a total abandonment of reality and a movement towards world socialism. I don't think you understand there's a conspiracy throughout the world to bring the entire world under the global leadership of a very small number of people, namely the international bankers. And I can name five of them if you want their names and their companies. I don't think it's too difficult to understand. These are men and women without a nation. These are men and women without a conscience. These are people without anything except a register that analyzes how much they were able to garner through their financial manipulations. They make nothing, they produce nothing except finance itself. If you look at the financial instruments that these thieves created over the last several years, going back to approximately 2001, you will find that many of these trillion-dollar financial instruments were built upon nothing. They were trading nothingness for nothingness, and they were taking permutations and combinations of commissions for themselves and making phantom profits built upon phantom trades. You look at the kind of trades and you understand that it was built upon nothingness. Go to England. I try to find out what England produces. I remember they used to make great cars. Well, cars, they were beautiful. They weren't great. They were never good. Sheffield silver came to mind. The woolen industry. I'm talking a long time ago. I was almost floored when I read that 70-some percent of the British GDP is based upon finance. Think about that. What does that mean? Based upon finance? That means they produce nothing except financial instruments? They trade financial instruments? So it's a nation that is built upon nothing, run by people who have nothing within themselves.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm going to read a letter to the British Home Office. Attention, listeners to the Savage Nation, both here and around the world. I've received many, many, many letters of support. One of them came to me from a gentleman I have never met, and I'm going to leave him anonymous, but I'm going to read his letter. It is a letter to the British Home Office, and it goes like this. Dear sir or madam, I am a British national. I currently reside in Los Angeles, California, in the United States as a green card holder, and have lived here for 11 years. In the 11 years as a resident of California, I listen to Dr. Michael Savage every day if possible. I can categorically state that I agree with every opinion, belief, and notion Dr. Savage has expressed through his radio show, written, word, and articles. I have made financial donations to his Freedom of Speech Legal Fund and will continue to do so, and have bought a number of his best-selling books. I am a practicing Catholic who strongly believes in the right to bear arms under the United States Constitution, although I am not permitted to own a firearm under U.S. law as a resident alien. I am a member of the RNC. I am a strong anti-abortion advocate and have attended many protests outside abortion clinics in Houston, Texas, and here in California. I am totally opposed to illegal immigration here in the U.S. and the United Kingdom. It is my belief that there is a faction of fanatical Muslims inciting violence in the U.K. who wish to overthrow the government of Great Britain. I strongly object to liberalism and oppose the Labor government and the Democratic government of the United States. As a result of Dr. Michael Savage's ban on entering the UK due to being put on a least wanted list by the Home Secretary, I would like to know if the British government will revoke my passport and deny me entry to the UK due to my affiliation with Dr. Savage, as my thoughts and beliefs are aligned with his. I demand an immediate response to my inquiry and furthermore demand the resignation of the incompetent Home Secretary with a stipulation of a written apology on behalf of the British people to Dr. Savage. I will be making a financial contribution to Dr. Savage's legal fund in the lawsuit of defamation against Jackie Smith. Signed, a British national. We're still hearing feedback of my being banned from visiting England from all over the world. Joining us now is our regular eye on Hollywood, James Herson, to take a closer look at what's going on now and our special relationship we have always had with England.
Thanks, Michael. There's a term that's used in foreign policy discussions that bears on the brainless Brit border ban of you that just took place. The traditional accord between the UK and the US is called, for whatever reason, the special relationship. It's discussed at global forums and is important to both of our nations in many ways. But the act by British Home Secretary Jackie Smith to ban an American radio host, you, from Britain just for expressing points of view is, among other things, Michael, a violation of international norms and international law. It threatens the long-held alliance between our nation and theirs. Smith announced that the reason she was going to release this list is so others could better understand what sort of behavior Britain was not prepared to tolerate. But what this woman has really done is create an international incident. Michael, the special relationship between Britain and the U.S. has national security implications. Britain has always been our staunchest ally, as exhibited in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And if we had principal leadership in our State Department, we would see some diplomatic pressure on Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of the UK, to strike your name, to strike Michael Savage's name from the Smith blacklist and issue an immediate apology to you personally and to the United States as well. But unfortunately, right now, the State Department is headed up by Hillary Clinton. Surprisingly, also, this special relationship between the U.S. and Britain is also very important in a number of industries, including the one that I primarily cover, Hollywood. Think of the Brits who are key players in Tinseltown, such as Kate Winslet, Daniel Craig, and Emily Blunt. As a matter of fact, the UK Film Council put a list together of actors in films recently with a box office take of more than £500 million. And these names included Orlando Bloom, Ewan McGregor, Ralph Fiennes, Ian McKellen, Christopher Lee, Keira Knightley, Kate Beckinsale, and directors like Ridley Scott and Paul Greengrass. These folks talk about free speech. They really have a vested interest in free speech. They ought to step up and vigorously protest when American citizens' human rights are violated, but they don't.
Well, why don't they speak out?
Because they're chicken. You know, another fact that's very important here that's not good news for Gordon Brown is that California, the left coast, has the largest population of voting Brits anywhere other than the UK. Lots of them listen to the Savage Nation, and lots of them are ticked off at the current Labour Party government and their treatment of you. I mean, what kind of government would use their borders for a form of censorship? Since 2005, the UK has banned 101 people for what they were calling unacceptable behavior. According to the UK spokesperson, the names included various far-left and far-right extremists, but these were people who not only advocated hatred, but advocated violence in support of their beliefs. But that all changed in 2008 when Jackie Smith introduced new measures that would ban those who had supposedly spread hatred.
Unbelievable.
How ambiguous can you get?
Exactly.
Now, when countries use borders to penalize people for expressing ideas, it violates basic international human rights law. Freedom of speech means you can speak freely without censorship or limitation. It is closely related to the idea of freedom of thought. The right to freedom of speech is recognized as a fundamental human right by numerous international law documents. It is a basic human right under Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it's also recognized by the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which Britain is a signatory to both. It describes freedom of speech as the right to hold opinions without interference. Now, it's pretty clear banning someone from entering a nation is clear-cut interference. In addition, freedom of speech is recognized under the European Union's regional human rights law. Now, I am a law professor. I've taught the subject of media-related international law for more than 16 years, and I've written a book on international law. This case that you're involved in addition to other things, is a flagrant violation by the British government of international law. Jackie Smith has associated you, a radio commentator who has never incited violence, with murderers, white supremacists, and terrorists.
How could this be going on?
When nations ban people for what they think rather than what they do, they become, in essence, the international thought police. But look, Jackie Smith likes policing thoughts. She attempted to introduce a giant government database, a government database, to track all citizen emails, phone calls, and internet activity. After public outcry, she modified the plan, but still requested that private companies store similar information for the government. Smith also oversaw a government program to adopt new language to describe Islamic terrorism. She asked all top government workers to refer to Islamic terrorists as those that pursued anti-Islamic activity.
Don't get me started.
Smith is also being investigated by parliamentary watchdogs about allegations over expense claims for her home that impact British taxpayers. The UK Sun reports she's been using her district home as her primary residence for tax purposes, but at the same time using her sister's home as her main residence to claim expenses as a member of Parliament. And allegedly, she's pocketed £84,000 of taxpayer money on the so-called second home. And this is a place she lives in, some spare room, allegedly, in her sister's home, and then claims it as her main home.
Oh, like we didn't see that coming.
This is a typical kind of liberal hypocrite concept. But could it be that Jackie Smith has hatred for taxpayers? Maybe then she should be on the blacklist. But by including you on her blacklist, she also has probably made these taxpayers in the UK liable for civil damages in your upcoming civil lawsuit. I teach media law. My media lawyer friends, my former students who are now practicing law, tell me that not only will Smith lose this case to you, Michael, but it could cost the British taxpayers maybe £500,000 to £1 million. Hey, she better settle this thing fast. Now, here in Hollywood, there's a lot of talk about human rights. And since free speech is a primary human right, where are these Hollywood stars who advocate global human rights all the time when somebody like you gets penalized for speaking your mind? I mean, where's George Clooney, who's a UN messenger of peace and co-founder of a good group dedicated to stopping human rights violations in Darfur? Where's Brad Pitt? He's always bringing folks' attention to violations of human rights in Africa. And where's his main squeeze, Angelina Jolie, who's a goodwill ambassador for the UN? And then, of course, we can't count on Sean Penn, who always says he's for free speech because he's busy in the California legislature getting a Harvey Milk Day for California.
I don't think these Hollywood types would help. I don't fit into their agenda.
These folks talk a lot. They talk a lot about human rights, and they talk a lot about free speech. And as entertainers, they have a vested interest in free expression. And they ought to step up. They ought to come out and protest when you, an American citizen, have your human rights violated. Thanks, Michael, for your continued dedication to freedom of expression.
Thanks for the report, James, and thanks for speaking out for me when no one else will in Los Angeles. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
I want to play for you a piece of my interview that CNN did yesterday. This is about my being prohibited from entering the United Kingdom. Here is how it started.
British Home Secretary Jackie Smith saying that you're on this list that we've been talking about because you are someone who, quote, has fallen into the category of fomenting hatred of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed in the country. What's your response to that?
It is demented. That's a demented attitude. We are protected by the First Amendment, number one. They are not. And the First Amendment, as we all know, was written to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Let's begin with the basics. But more than that, she lumped me in with known murderers and terrorists, people who have been in prison for killing people. I am a talk show host and an author. The fact of the matter is I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I have never, ever promoted violence. There has never been one violent incident attached to my show.
Of all the talk radio hosts, why you?
I was astounded when I saw this. I thought it was some bizarre joke. I said, this can't be real. How in the world could she lump me in with people such as Russian skinheads who were imprisoned for killing people? It makes no sense.
Well, then the next question.
Why waste your time? You know, you have a lot of things to do. You say you're probably not interested in even traveling to the UK. So why waste your time fighting this in court?
I'm not wasting my time. I've spent my entire life building up a great reputation amongst millions of loyal followers and fans. I have a family, and when I leave the earth, I want to leave my name in good standing. in the way it really is. My PhD is from Berkeley. I did great research. I've written great books. I'm a family man. I love my country. And I want to clear my name. I want my name off that list, and I want a letter of apology from this Jackie Smith.
And since this came to light, have you heard anything from the British government about whether they're rethinking this?
I have not, but I've heard from British attorneys who are salivating to set the record straight and win quite a large settlement should she not remove my name from the list.
There's a lot of British people that have never heard of you before. They didn't know Michael Savage. They didn't know your radio show before this, that are now going to be logging on the Internet, clicking on, listening to you. So, I mean, this has got to help ratings in some way.
It's not about ratings. I'm at a point in my life where ratings don't matter to me one way or the other. I could leave radio tomorrow and I wouldn't have a different lifestyle than I do today. People have to understand that I believe in what I say. Borders, language, culture is the real message of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture. I'm a traditional American. I'm a patriotic American. And if that's a crime in England, God help us all.
And of course, I knew this question was coming.
Why don't you clear up some of the misconceptions? I want to ask you about your views on some of the following things. What are your views about immigrants and illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration? It's in keeping with 80% of the American people. They want it stopped, and they want it stopped now. This country is sinking in red ink. This country is broke. This country cannot afford the welfare. This country cannot afford the legal care. This country cannot afford the education of illegal immigrants. We can no longer live in the 1950s. Moreover, there's a big difference between immigration and illegal immigration. I am the son of an immigrant. I'm a first-generation American. My grandfather waited online to become a citizen. You can't suddenly take people who run across the border and say, presto, you're a citizen, can you?
What do you think about Islam?
No surprise in that question either. Here was my answer.
What do I think about Islam? I think it's up to the individuals to make their own decision. It's true that most Muslims are not terrorists. That's clear. But it's also true that almost all terrorists on earth today are Muslim. Let's not deny reality. 9/11 was committed by who? 19 Saudi Arabians or 19 Christians? 19 Saudi Arabians who happen to be Islamic or 19 Jews? I mean, we can't deny reality. We're living in a world of reality or unreality.
So there you have it. Do you think that CNN was fair and balanced?
Savage.
He says he is no hate monger and does not promote violence. But in Britain, this is not a First Amendment issue. It is what they call a hate issue. And along with 21 others, including anti-gay preachers, radical Muslim clerics, and the Ku Klux Klan, Michael Savage, says the British government, is not free to speak on the Queen's soil.
Now, I want to read a little bit of Andrew Durham, even a minute of it. Andrew Durham is a regular web commentator to the Savage Nation. And he wrote, a great article, The Savage Band, Miss Smith, and the Cowards of Talk Radio. Let me read a few pieces from it. Radio talk show host Michael Savage, whose program is the third largest radio talk show in the country, is facing a ban on entering Great Britain, and his most notable colleagues are not talking about it. And he goes on, and then he says, but the more pathetic part of all of this is the total silence from the so-called kings of talk radio in the United States. They cry daily about the fairness doctrine and the death of free speech. Yet when one of their own is facing this international disgrace, there is nothing to be said. That is, nothing is to be heard from them. Why? Because the two top talkers in radio are uneducated, classless children. All of us know the high school clique of the cool kids who wouldn't allow those who didn't qualify into their group. The top talkers in the U.S. have proven themselves over and over again to be nothing more than high school educated thugs. The fact that Savage's current situation is not even mentioned by them is irrefutable proof that the so-called kings of talk radio are hypocrites of the first order. They are precisely what they accuse their liberal adversaries of being. Michael Savage earned a PhD, two master's degrees, and is the author of over 20 books, four of which were New York Times bestsellers. The most highly educated man in American talk radio is banned from the UK. People are outraged about my being banned from England, and they're speaking out across the world. Joining us now is syndicated columnist and author Matt Towery.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I have to say that it's amazing that I was even confronted with having to write about Britain's ban on an American radio host. I found it amazing and shocking, certainly given the fact that I was educated in England. I gained my MPhil in international relations at Cambridge University. I loved my time in England. Admittedly, I am near the age of 50, so I was attending school there in the 1980s, the very early 1980s, mid-1980s. But it was certainly a wonderful time period, and I found the British people, the English people, to be so warm and welcoming and loved every moment of being part of that country. So it was all the more shocking to me as I learned that the British Home Secretary, Ms. Smith, had published these 16 names of individuals who are banned from the United Kingdom. I mean, you had instances where you had a militant who had served 30 years in prison for his role in killing four Israeli soldiers and a four-year-old girl. And that individual is on a list along with, of all people, Michael Savage, which really was chilling to me. And I have to tell you, Michael, I admit I listen to you every night now, religiously. Whether that's due to on the East Coast, you run a little later, and maybe that's my insomnia or whatever, but I enjoy it. I have a great time listening to your show. And I did not have the opportunity or the pleasure to listen to you in the year 2008. I was involved in writing a book on the presidential race called Paranoid Nation, which came out recently. And I was also polling the presidential race. Our firm Insider Advantage polls the races and was a very accurate pollster nationwide for major publications such as Politico. And in doing so, I was deprived of the opportunity of hearing your commentary of the 2008 race, but I've enjoyed every moment of hearing your commentary since then. And what I learned in listening to Michael Savage is that Michael Savage cannot be placed in any one category. Michael Savage sometimes can be a very conservative individual. Other times, one could call you a libertarian. In other instances, you would simply be a contrarian. You will go from talking about issues of the day to talking about the food you had one evening or how your dog is doing. And quite frankly, I found that quite interesting and endearing.
Well, that's why people listen.
Never did I hear, and never have I heard, anything on your show that would incite a riot or would incite danger or would suggest that you would cause unrest in a community. And so I chose to write on Creators Syndicate on their site, which is one of the largest distributors of syndicated material nationwide, a column that was entitled Britain's Ban on American Radio Host is an Outrage. And, Michael, it is an outrage. And here are some of the reasons it is. First of all, and I don't think even in the column I mentioned this, but I reflected on it later, the United States has something called the FCC, and every radio station in America is terrified of the FCC. And we all know that while we have free speech in America, and we or at least have had free speech in America, we all know that the FCC monitors very carefully what is said on the radio. Now, if Michael Savage were some great threat to America, if Michael Savage were inciting riots, if Michael Savage was crossing the line, the FCC would be down on Michael Savage in 5 seconds, and we all know it. So given the fact that your freedom of speech is actually held to a higher standard than most individuals in this country because you're broadcast all over the nation, one of the largest syndicated radio programs in America, the fact that someone in Great Britain would make the determination that your words could somehow cause community uprisings, could cause riots in the street, could incite individuals to commit acts of hatred, is absolutely dumbfounding. So I was offended, and quite frankly, I was shocked. And more apparently, I guess, to many of us, many who have lived in England, live in England now, or from England, are just as shocked over this as am I and as are your listeners.
You were the political campaign chairman for Republicans back in the 1990s. Where do you think this is going in terms of our freedom of speech?
Michael, I was, in fact, Newt Gingrich's political campaign chairman. Speaker Gingrich is a brilliant man, but I'm not now tied to either the Republican or the Democratic Party. I am not one who automatically chooses to attack Barack Obama. There are positives and negatives, but more important than anything is not the popularity of a president, but it's the popularity or lack thereof of the ideas and concepts that a new administration might propose. I am keeping a very interesting eye on issues such as our own Homeland Security Department deciding to say who might be a danger to society and who may not be a danger. That is a concern. And I think another concern that I have is the issue of whether we're going to have these community organizations monitoring the radio, monitoring content in sort of a backdoor way of making sure that we reinstate the fairness doctrine. Those are great concerns, and they really all tie back in together to what we're seeing in Great Britain. And I think what scared me is that this country that I lived in and that I loved, and think of it, Oxford and Cambridge, two universities founded in the 1200s or earlier, they created some of the and have given the world some of the great thinkers, individuals who were willing to step out and come up with new ideas, new theories, oftentimes controversial. We have gone from a nation that created some of the great intellectual leaders of all time to a nation that suddenly decides that one man who gives his opinion on the airways, regulated by the FCC in the United States, is somehow a danger to an entire nation. The fact that such a closed-minded concept would come from a nation that I love was quite disappointing. And so, Michael, I stand with you. I stand with anyone who is threatened by any nation, including our own, for expressing opinions that are not inciting harm, not urging people to be damaged in any way, but simply expressing freedom of speech, which is what this nation is all about. And I would stand up for, quite frankly, not just those who I admire, such as you, but I would stand up for anyone with any political view as long as they fell within the lines that you do, and that is you are within the confines of protected and true American speech.
Matt Towery, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. Savage. I did a number of television interviews for this about this scandal. I did a number of television interviews about this scandal. One of them is with the BBC itself, and I'd like you to listen to it in part.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Right, and then I said this to her.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so, therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
So what are you going to do about it? You said on your show you're going to sue?
Now, at this point, here is how I answered that.
We have six or seven attorneys in London who are very anxious to take my position to Parliament. But I don't want to have to go there. She made a mistake. She was not given the full picture of Michael Savage. I suggest that she reconsider, remove my name, send a letter of apology, and I'll rapidly consider dropping the, number one, the libel suit, number two, the call for a travel ban by my listeners. I don't want to have to do this, but I have 8 to 10 million loyal listeners. If I say, folks, don't go to England, don't buy British goods, don't buy the Jaguar, don't buy the pint, let's see what happens.
And is that something you're prepared to do?
I will do what's necessary. I will do what's necessary to defend my name and reputation. I spent my entire life building a good name and reputation. I will not have it dragged to the mud by this lunatic.
And that's my BBC interview. We can see how corporate governance has ruined some of the greatest countries on earth. Both here and in England, we have petty mandarins like Jackie Smith ruining once great centers of freedom with their self-serving political agendas. Joining us now is Jonathan Macy, professor at Yale Law School and author of Corporate Governance, Promises Made, Promises Broken. Professor Macy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be back on your show today.
What was your main idea behind this book?
Well, the basic gist of the book is that whenever we regulate companies, business, or financial markets, we're filling up with regulation space that used to be filled up with private ordering, with private enterprise, with private agreements, contracts, and this is a view that has not been appreciated before. The idea was we're kind of helping everybody when we regulate, and the fact of the matter is we're not when we regulate. Generally speaking, what we're doing is crowding out the ability of people who want to enter into private arrangements for themselves to make themselves and their families better off and to increase the wealth of the economy as a whole.
And the big misconception about too much government regulation is that they are doing it for the benefit of the people.
That's exactly right. That basically, when the government regulates, what they do is put the best interest of the people who are the most politically connected in mind, and that people who are losers in the economic marketplace and in the world of private ordering will go and get regulations changed. So you know that's in order so that they can win. When they couldn't really win in a fair market.
Who is actually in charge when the government regulates these businesses?
Well, you know, the government has been regulating boards of directors now for a very long time, starting in earnest with the Enron collapse, and there's more of it now that we are in the current financial crisis. And basically, nobody's in charge. That increasingly directors of these companies, rather than have obligations to shareholders, you know, are now having obligations to all sorts of governmental enterprises and non-shareholder constituencies, and it's really made it much more difficult to organize a business or to make a business profitable.
Who decides what works and what doesn't work?
Before the government takes over a business and the business is in private hands, the idea is we operate along the old Adam Smith profit wealth, you know, profit and wealth maximization model, that the companies that survive are the companies that make money. The companies that don't survive are the companies that lose money. And so over time, the economy grows and people generally get richer because only the best, most successful business enterprises survive. When the government takes over, what matters is not, you know, profit maximizing or wealth maximization. What matters is what way of organizing the business is most, you know, politically congenial to the politician. So you take, for example, you know, my local senator Chris Dodd. He gets special deals in his home mortgages from this big company Countrywide. They don't give him this big mortgage because they think he's a nice guy. They give it to him because he's a U.S. senator in charge of very important congressional committees that can pass legislation that benefit this firm at the expense of other firms that are not as politically well connected.
Well, what's the goal of politicians here?
Oh, I think the goal is very clear, which is, politicians operate in a political world And that political world is competitive. So the people want to get reelected. They want to get money from plaintiffs' lawyers. They want to get money from various special interest groups. And you get that money, you get that influence, you get that support from those groups by regulating in ways that they find congenial, in ways that transfer wealth from people who work to people who are very good at galvanizing themselves into effective political coalitions to push for change in non-market transactions.
Is this the end of the free market? I think it is.
Well, I think the basic bottom line is, we have a free market system only on a sort of as compared to what basis. So compared to Stalinist Russia, we have a pretty robust free market system. Compared to other countries, say the UK or other places, or compared to the way the U.S. was 75 years ago, we've moved on the basis of those kinds of comparisons. We've moved quite far away from a free market system.
What do you think is the most important thing we need to keep in mind?
When government comes in and says that it's helping business, it usually isn't. And that when the dust settles, there's going to be lower growth, higher unemployment, less incentives for free markets and entrepreneurship, and that that the government typically comes into an area and they say, oh, the private sector has messed things up, and therefore we need government intervention. And what I hope the lesson of one of the important lessons of the book is to say that, yes, it's true, the private sector often messes things up, but when the government attempts to intervene and fix it, the results are often much worse than whatever the original problems were that were generated by the private sector.
Professor Macy, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks again. It was great to be with you, and I hope we talk again soon.
This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Set.